Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most cowardly podcast network.
Hello and welcome to Scaredy Boys, a podcast where three cowardly friends discuss horror movies. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Tom.
And for this episode, we watched Scream. Scream is a 1996 slasher film directed by Wes Craven and written by Kevin Williamson. It follows the character of Sidney Prescott, a high school student in the fictional town of Westboro, California, who becomes the target of a mysterious killer in a Halloween costume known as Ghostface.
What a great movie.
Really good.
What a good time.
Ah, this movie hit so many notes. It was both weirdly funny at times, but genuinely scary.
It's again one of those things where Wes Craven loves what he does, and he knows what he does so well. In lesser hands, this movie idea would be garbage. But this is a guy who loves horror movies and slashers so much that all of that just... It's a bit like watching The Shape of Water, and you watch The Shape of Water and you're like, fuck, Guillermo del Toro loves making movies. This is the same. I've said that before, I'm pretty sure, but it's the same thing. Yeah. You watch this and you're like, Wes Craven knows his shit and he loves his shit.
That's a great point, Tom, because... I mean, I reckon often you will find a director makes a movie just because it's like, yeah, I'll make that, or they don't have that passion. Like, I know that after Rian Johnson did Knives Out, everyone was like, oh, you've done so many different genres, what's next? We'd love it if you did a horror film. And he went, yeah, I get that, but growing up, I never had that love for horror movies, so I will very likely never do one. And I think that's such a good approach. Yeah. Like, Wes Craven obviously just loves it so much that he lives it. Mm. And, like, I mean, there's a reason why he's, like, basically the master of the genre.
Yes.
Or was.
Yeah. Like, yeah, if he went off and did a romantic comedy, you wouldn't be happy about that. You'd be very disappointed.
I think I'd be interested.
If Wes Craven tomorrow released a romantic comedy, I'd be buying tickets. I mean, I couldn't because the cinemas are closed, but I'd be buying tickets.
Has there been a horror movie that is also a romantic comedy where one of the two parties of the romantic comedy is the murderer?
There's that, the Mike Myers one. You married an ex-murderer, or I married an ex-murderer, or my wife's
a... Oh, yeah, good.
That one. I think the premise of that is that he's not sure if his new wife is a serial killer or not.
Cool.
That's good. That's a good premise.
Trust Mike Myers to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, when you think about it too, like... We talk about how it's clear that he loves it, but the fact that, like, these days having films that are self-aware and self-referential isn't new. But this would have, like, again, this would have blown my tiny little mind had I seen this for the first time, and it was the first, like, at the cinema. Because it's so defining. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, Tom, you mentioned that a couple times while we were watching it, that... Imagine being there back. Damo, what year did it come out?
96.
In 96, when this stuff was happening for the first time. Because, yeah, a lot of it now is commonplace because it's become a trope of the genre. But to see it for the first time, you got to respect that. Like, even having experienced a lot of those tropes, it still holds up so well. Yep. It's crazy.
Yeah, completely agree. And, like, even, again, doing my research today, a lot of people, like, basically it came at a point where horror was kind of beginning to die off. There was a lot of straight-to-VHS sort of horror movies coming out. Nothing was hitting the big screen and actually making waves or anything like that. And then Scream came on board and everyone was crazy for horror again. It was just like it literally reinvigorated the genre.
And that's I think, you look at it, like every time, I feel like Wes Craven's one of those things, anytime there's something cool and interesting to be done, you look at like Nightmare on Elm Street. And then he comes back and he redoes Nightmare by making it refer to itself. He does Scream. There are, and even then when, I think in the early, maybe 2010, he did Scream 4, which we will watch, boys. But he basically took the thing, and by that stage, Scream had become like, oh, yeah, we get it. But he upped the ante again. Like, he went, yep, no, you know what Scream is.
Yeah.
This is what Scream is. Like, every time it always... It's very good. It's very self-aware. And the fact that he, again, and I think it's one of those things is you get a lot of filmmakers and writers and people fall into traps because they go, oh, I'm going to take this thing and make it different and cool and edgy. And it's like, yes, yeah. But you need to love it in order to do that. If you just come in and go, I'm just going to do something cool and edgy because fuck. Like, best example I can think of is someone like George R.R. Martin, right? He loves fantasy. So when he wrote a Game of Thrones, the first book, he sat down and he went, right, this is how I'm going to write this. I'm going to take all of the things that people love about fantasy and I'm going to blow them up and I'm going to put them back together again.
Yeah, exactly right. And I think it is that love of the genre that really comes through. And the writer, Kevin Williamson, clearly is a huge fan of the genre. Hence the reason he wrote a movie that was purposefully playing on all the tropes that we knew. And the title for this movie was originally Scary Movie. That's what this movie was originally called. And was for like quite a long time through production. And basically, so the Weinstein brothers were not fans of the name. Pieces of shit that they are. But anyway, but they decided to change the title to Scream because they said they were inspired by the Michael Jackson song of the same name. And the idea that it could be used for both horror and comedy, because obviously like you're like, oh, it was a scream, meaning it was really funny. Or it was a scream, as in we fucking screamed because it was terrifying. So when you look at it, you're like, oh, that's actually a pretty good name. And then just another Kevin Williamson fact that I thought was really interesting. So he was a big fan of the genre and wanted to write something in that area. And there was a story going around at the time of these grisly murders called the Gainesville Ripper, which already I'm like, oh, that's terrifying. I don't need any part of that. But anyway, he woke up one night. He was staying at this house. I think a friend owned or something like that. And he went downstairs and in the kitchen, the window was open.
Oh.
And then pretty much all the pieces just like Gainesville Ripper, windows open. I didn't leave that window. And all these pieces sort of fell together. So then he went off and wrote what was basically that opening sequence with Drew Barrymore.
Ah.
Yeah. And so then he basically just shopped that around. So he had the idea that he wanted to be a franchise straight off the bat. So he wrote that and he wrote up synopsises for basically Scream 2, Scream 3, or at that point, Scary Movie 2, Scary Movie 3, which is so weird because obviously now we think of Scary Movie as the parody films, yeah. Which rip on this exact movie. It's a crazy, crazy convoluted history. And then, yeah, went off and basically just sold it as the franchise it eventually became.
That is ballsy. That is
so ballsy.
I respect that a lot.
Yeah.
I'm so glad he wasn't killed by the Gainesville Ripper because yeah. That would have been like, he's got this great idea and it stays in his head forever because he got ganked.
Right. Right. His idea basically killed him. Yeah.
The first scene's awesome.
Yeah. Let's talk about that because that was awesome.
And it's funny. We've talked before about how The Simpsons has been like a gateway into horror for us. But now I'm thinking of it, Scary Movie totally was as well.
Yeah.
Like so many things I saw in those Scary Movie films, it literally is ripped from these movies.
That's right. Amazing. That was because Scary Movie was pretty much, I could watch those because I knew there was going to be dumb, stupid comedy and not really be that scared.
Yeah.
Saying that, there were still moments in the Scary movies that I got a little bit scared. It's like some of the dumbest ones, but... I don't even know what movie it's ripping because this is how ignorant I am. But there's one scene in Scary Movie where there's like the clown under the bed and it's crazy huge cock comes out and wraps around someone and drags it under the bed. And I was just like, oh, that's not even funny. That's just really scary.
Oh.
Oh man, this movie would be so much funnier if the Ghostface killer killed people with giant cocks.
I know. Like,
instead of stabbing them,
clown cock just needs to stay the hell away from me, 100%.
Like, just think of like the ominous. You know how like in like Jaws they have the Jaws music, or like even Nightmare on Elm Street you have the claws. You just have like in the background, like someone's like walking through a house, and in the background you just hear a vibrator turn on. So, like, it's like, oh my god, the dildo killer's here! You just hear,
and there's just a very phallic shadow in the background.
That's funny because Wes Craven talked about, you know, with Freddy Krueger creating an iconic weapon. He should have done the cock knife in this.
Yeah.
I mean, he did go pretty good by creating the iconic ghost-faced mask that I think has been parodied and pastiched and used as a Halloween costume a billion times over, which I love that they actually touch on in the film that the costume is so iconic that then people just start wearing it, like, at the school and they don't know. Principal Henry Winkler doesn't know who's who.
Yeah, I think it's a really good idea because it's like if you can literally buy it for $5 at a cheapo store, well, then it could be anybody. Like the idea of anyone could be the murderer, which obviously this sets up because it literally that's one of the rules of scary movies. Anyone could be the murderer. And having a cheap costume that still somehow comes across as scary, such a brilliant idea.
I mean, let's be honest, not everybody could be the murderer. We also know that if they have a weird long tongue, they are more likely to be the murderer.
Oh, boy. That Shaggy. Tongue. Thing of nightmares. Did he have one scene where Shaggy didn't stick his tongue out?
Nope. I'm just assuming so.
Yeah. Look, we haven't done a scene-by-scene play, but
I'm pretty sure.
If you had a drinking game where you took a drink every time Shaggy's tongue came out, you'd be toasted halfway through this film.
Can you imagine Shaggy coming up to the great Wes Craven and being like, oh, I've got a bit of an acting choice. I'll surprise you during the scene. Like, Wes Craven obviously must have enjoyed it. Yeah. Otherwise, he would have put an end to it because it's so
he must have been
aggressively slapping you in the face in every scene that he's in. Yeah. And I hate it.
I think the idea behind it, though, is it's supposed to just make him seem like a cool stoner bro. To, I guess, remove suspicion that he is, in fact, one of two. That's the other thing that is unique about it is that there is not one killer.
Mm.
There are two.
Which, and again, for me, who had not seen this film before, I didn't know how it ended. In fact, Scary Movie had made me think for sure that Officer Dewey was going to be the murderer. Because I think that's how Scary Movie finishes. Yep. So that's what I was predicting the whole way. And I genuinely did not know the ending. And partially because, I'm thinking, well, there's just going to be one. The two killers, it's like, it's such an obvious, easy way to do things because you can have one person in one scene and the murderer in the same scene and go, oh, well, they can't be them. Like, it's such a good way to throw the audience off the trail.
And they even play at you by having, what's Neve Campbell's boyfriend's name? I can't remember.
Billy.
Billy seemed like so obviously creepy and a killer, but in your mind, you're like, oh, well, he can't be because the killer was there and Billy was there. Like, it doesn't match up, even though he's so in your face with how creepy he is.
Yeah.
Infuriating.
Yeah.
And then he gets stabbed. So you're like, well, it's definitely not him. He's dead.
He's dead. Yeah, exactly right.
Do they explain that away with tomato sauce?
Corn syrup.
Yeah.
Literally, it's the fake blood that Hollywood uses because, again, it's self-aware, so it knows.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so self-referential. Like, there's even a scene where Jamie Kennedy's character, Randy, is sitting on the couch watching Halloween and he's telling Jamie, look behind you, Jamie, look behind you. And his name, his actual real-life name is Jamie. Like, it's so self-referential.
And behind him is the Ghostface
killer. Behind him, exactly. Very good.
But I even love how they do that where Courtney Cox has come in and put, like, a secret camera. Mm. But the thing with that is that because of the video, it's on a 30-second delay, which just plays in really beautifully as well. It's really clever.
It's good. It's
that the bit when the camera guy realizes, oh, no, it's on a delay, and then gets stabbed.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Very well done. And, like, yeah, they utilize stuff like that very well. And for a film that, like, it obviously, because it is so self-referential and it does have moments of comedy, it could have so easily just slid into being just a comedy and a bit, well, not actually scary, but it was actually scary. Like, that opening scene with Drew Barrymore is just awful. It's purposefully horrific.
Yeah.
Well, there's some really terrifying, even like anytime that there's someone who's actually in danger, there's like spooky jump scares, there's some horrific deaths. So again, it does that thing where horror and comedy are on the same highway.
Yeah, yeah.
They just turn off at different exits. Scream gets back on the highway on the other side and then keeps just going around in a loop, like on one of those like LA freeways that just go in a circle.
But even just on that, even on that, playing with, you know, the comedy and horror is even that, you know, Ghostface sometimes is just like really inept. Mm. Like he's trying to get somebody and he trips over like a goofball or gets easily thrown away. But then other times he's extremely good at what he's doing, which is killing people. Yeah. And I think that when we watch this, we just had the theory that that's obviously when both guys are playing Ghostface.
Yeah. So
like Shaggy, the stoner, is probably the idiot goofball one that keeps getting pushed around, and the other one's the one who's probably killing.
Yeah, he's a bit more passionate about the killing and a bit more able to not trip over something every time he tries to kill somebody.
Yeah. You just know that Shaggy's getting distracted behind that mask because he's annoyed that his tongue isn't able to get through it.
Or he's actually sticking his teeth. He's just licking the inside of the mask every time he tries to talk.
It's probably got like toxic plastic on the inside and he's probably getting like real droopy because he keeps licking it.
Oh, man. Also, it also helps that, again, with this, you sort of main cast, you care about them. Like, you care about Neve Campbell. You care about Dewey. You care about... Like, you eventually come around to the... what the name of the journalist is completely... I've forgotten every character's name.
So her name is Gail Weathers.
That's right, Gail. Gail. Yeah. So you care about them. You care about Tatum, who's played by Rose McGowan. You care about all these people. You care about Randy.
Yeah.
So that when they're in danger, you're on board. You want these people to survive. Rewatching this movie reminded me that, holy shit, I had a big crush on Neve Campbell, and I don't think it's completely gone.
That's fair enough, Tom.
Yeah. You were... So we watched this together, and Tom was mostly getting quite hot under the collar about Neve Campbell, more than scared, I would say.
I tell you what, I've had... The last few movies we've watched, I've had a cold shower. Johnny Depp's crop top, now Neve Campbell's...
It's all been happened. Such a confusing range of emotion taking place there.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
So I'm gonna both ask and answer this question. Were we scared? For me, definitely yes.
Yeah, me too.
Yep.
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 Yeah.
The jump scares are still there.
The jump scares 100% do everything they're meant to do. And then that opening sequence with Drew Barrymore, and again, we're talking about if you'd seen this for the first time and you knew Drew Barrymore was on it, and even I think I read that the advertising before the movie came out was plugging Drew Barrymore as kind of the lead. You were meant to think, she's our protagonist. Great, we're going to follow her story. And so, first of all, the phone call is done very well because the person is so, like, charming in a weird way, and it's a
bit playful.
Very playful, and then even asking about the scary movies, and then all of a sudden it just turns on a dime, and all of a sudden you're like, oh no, this is legit, and he can see her, and this is fucking horrible. And then that first scene also contains probably the goriest moments of the whole film, I reckon, because there's the boyfriend who gets like eviscerated, and then later when first when Drew Barrymore is like trying to scream to her parents who have just showed up.
Oh, that she's had her throat cut.
Killed me.
Yeah.
Just had her throat cut. The parents are just there. She's like crawling toward, oh, just the worst. And then they come out and see her hung from a tree, likewise eviscerated with just all her internal organs hanging out. That's pretty fucked.
It's the kind of scene, isn't it, where it's like something brutal happens and you go, all right, well, that's it. But then another brutal thing gets stacked on top of that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly right.
Do you reckon she would have survived if she had a Titanic-style whistle?
I think she would have survived if she'd got the question right.
Mm.
She passes the first two questions, and then the third question is, who kills people on Friday the 13th, and she gets it wrong. I reckon, look, I'm just saying, if she'd get them all right, she knew her trivia, she'd still be here.
I don't reckon. They've already killed the boyfriend.
Nah, probably not.
They've got a taste for it.
Nah. Yeah.
They're hungry. Shaggy's got his tongue out like a dog.
What I love too, we talked about how it refers and talks about other movies, but it even talks about like the classic urban legends, like the call just coming from inside the house, the babysitter all alone. Because the story of the babysitter all alone is that she, at the end she walks out and the kids are hanging from the trees with their guts out. The news guy on top of the roof of the car with his like head on those are all like classic spooky urban legends. Heard it from a friend of a friend type shit. So again, Wes Craven loves his shit.
Oh, well, there's even, you just reminded me, there was even that line that Rose McGowan did where she said it's something like from a Wes Carpenter film. She's so great pairing Wes Craven and John Carpenter. Very good.
Her death is brutal.
Yeah, the doggy door.
It also doesn't feel deserved. I will say this. Her death feels unfair because she does the best job. She kicks the shit out of that dude and then...
Yeah.
Trapped by boobs.
Yeah.
Her boobs get stuck in the window, is that right?
No, they get stuck in the little doggy door. She can't pull the rest of herself through.
Yeah, brutal.
And then her head gets fucking bam punched in the garage door.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for me, this is definitely a scary movie, which it was billed as and meant to be. And generally, like I said, because I didn't know who the murderer was, it was a bit of a, fuck, I don't know who's going to die and anyone can die. And having Drew Barrymore die early on, you're like, yeah, anyone can probably die. Except for Neve Campbell, because I kind of knew she was in the sequels. But other than that.
Well, what they do really nicely there is that you have Randy talking about the rules of horror films. These are the things you shouldn't do. And so far, all the characters have done the things they shouldn't and they get punished for it. And then he says, and if you have sex, you're done. And as he's saying that, Neve Campbell's having sex with her boyfriend upstairs. And you're like, oh, no.
Neve.
She's broken the rule. Oh, she's in trouble. Yeah. But, of course, she bucks the trend. And because, you know, she literally says that thing, this isn't your story.
Did she bucks the trend?
I said bucks, but she also fucks the trend. She said, what's the throwaway line she gives? This isn't the way the story goes, or this is my story, or whatever. Yeah. This is my movie, or something like that. It's good.
Yeah.
It's a good line. Whatever it is, it's really good.
It works. Yeah. Okay. Well, did she and the rest of the cast act wisely or foolishly?
I think she acted pretty realistically.
Yeah, realistically is a good word.
She wasn't like switched on to the point where I was like shocked by how capable she was or anything, but she was... As things were thrown at her, I didn't... You know how sometimes you lose respect for a character if they act like a moron?
Yeah.
There wasn't really any of that that I can remember. I think she did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, and I think to be like, yes, I think all the characters actually behave pretty cleverly because when they're fighting them off, they are technically fighting two teenage boys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who are not experts at this. They're both just insane and weird.
Yeah.
So like, you know... Her being able to kick the shit out of them makes sense. The fact that Tatum is able to get a couple of good hits in makes sense.
Yeah.
Randy's the cleverest. He knows how the game works.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's all, I agree with all that. And I do like that they weren't sort of superhero bad guys. Like we said, they're tripping over shit all the time. Like, they were kind of clumsy murderers. But ultimately,
they're just two assholes in a mask.
They're just two assholes in a mask. Right, exactly. Oh, boy.
I will say this.
Yeah.
There is one character, though, who sadly does not behave cleverly. And that is Deputy Dewey. He's a dumb fuck. Bless that dumb, beautiful man.
Yeah.
I thought he was...
I love him.
I thought he was going to be the bad guy, but mainly just because of the way that he looks. Like, he looked really seedy, you know?
Yeah.
I loved Sean while we were watching this movie. You turned to us at one point and you were like, Courtney Cox made this movie where David Arquette looks and behaves like that and she married him.
Yes. She's the real hero. Good on her.
Yeah, well done, Courtney Cox. Yeah. So
his character is great.
The Dewey was meant to be like a buff kind of heartthrobby police officer, okay. Right? Except yeah. I think it was yeah. Wes Craven who wanted David Arquette for some reason. He obviously just liked him. But then once David Arquette like came in to read lines, they're like, all right, nah, fuck it, he's a goofball. Because we can't have it any other way.
He's perfect, though. The fact that he's not that great, but he's responsible looking into this, makes, like, perfect sense.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. It kind of, like, it almost breaks your heart because he does, like, he generally comes across like he really cares, but he's also just so incompetent. You're like, he's so much more of a memorable character because of it.
Mm. Yeah. He's got a great mustache, too.
A good mustache, yeah.
Gail Weathers liked it.
Oh, hey, she did.
Over that shit.
At first, I thought she was just kind of playing him, but then I'm like, oh, no, she's really into him, and I don't know why.
I don't get it, but I guess I'm happy for him.
Yeah.
She wears some outlandish stuff, too. That fluoro green pantsuit she's got on at one point is just, wow, what's going on?
It is next level. Like, she's already on the news. You're being seen. You don't need to wear that. All right, well, if the murderers are just two dumb idiots, how would three dumb idiots do against them? How would we fare in this movie?
Boys, I want to put it to you this way. Damo, if you don't mind, can I reframe the question?
Okay, please.
Okay. So, because the heroes are pretty good, in this version, how would we do if we were the Ghostface killers?
Oh, Tommy.
All right.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Because, as you said, Damo, we are dumb idiots and the killers are dumb idiots. I don't think we'd go too great.
Oh, that's very good.
I can tell you that we wouldn't because we're good boys. We're not capable of, of doing what the job requires.
Yeah. Well,
so we fail.
Let's straight away, I want to talk about motive for a minute because I think you're right, Cans. I don't think any of us could draw up enough tragedy to have a decent motive. So one thing we haven't spoken about that I do actually want to bring up is that the killer's motive in this movie, they did something really clever where they both wanted to have their cake and eat it too. So the studio wanted they wanted a resolution to the movie, as in they wanted a reason for why the murderer was doing what they were doing. Whereas Williamson, who was originally wrote it, thought it was more scary for the killer not to have a reason. They just wanted to kill people. So then they had both, where Billy did it because Neve Campbell's mum slept with her dad and he blames her for breaking up his family. And then old tongue face Shaggy just did it for the sake of doing it, or peer pressure, as he said at one point.
That's right.
I don't know if we have a motive to be able to do it. Like, even if we were like holding knives and we're like sucking ourselves up, we're like, come on, yeah, we're going to do this. And then we'll just be like, oh, no, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it.
You know the bit near the end where they're like stabbing each other?
Oh, yeah, that was brutal.
We just wouldn't be able to do it. Like, one of us would nick the other one and then we'd all faint, I reckon.
No, I'm okay with blood.
And then end up in prison.
Oh, yeah, we get arrested and die. Like, okay, the ending of the movie is largely the same. I guess the question is, what's our body count by the end of it?
Oh,
zero.
I think it's zero. The most, I think...
Unless we might accidentally kill ourselves and then it's not zero.
Or if we're chasing someone with a knife and we trip over and we accidentally kill them that way. But then I think I'll just apologize to the corpse until someone found me, basically.
We are no good. We are bad.
Really bad.
I can't see this. Look, are we bad enough to be arrested by Officer Dewey?
Oh, okay. Nah, we're going to live forever.
No, because he wouldn't assume there's three of us.
Right.
Right. We got a leg up on Billy and Old Mate because there are only two of them, but there are three of us.
Okay, I think we could probably get one kill in and then and then we're done.
Probably like one and then like we come up with a really clever plan about how to do the next one and it just doesn't work and then we all turn up to kill Henry Winkler at the principal's office and it's like, Sean, I'm supposed to... No, Damo, I'm... And he's just standing there like... Sean, is that your name? And your name's Damon and your name's Tom. You're the scaredy boys from the podcast that I listen to. And then we become famous as the scaredy boy killers.
I think we fail at everything. If anything, there's probably one in the body count and it's probably Dewey. Jerry probably catches us and then we accidentally kill him somehow.
Yes. I could see that taking place for sure.
Mm. He kills himself by accident, chasing us.
Oh, yeah. Actually, he catches us, we surrender and hand him our knives, which have our fingerprints on them, and he accidentally kills himself, and that's still our fault.
With all three. He trips and falls on all three knives.
Yeah.
The cops get there and they're like, we're looking for three idiots. Their fingerprints are all over these knives.
Yeah, that's us, sir. Yeah, that's us.
And this mask we found just has saliva all on the inside. Like one of them was just licking it over and over again. I don't understand.
Well, I think Matthew Lillard is the only one we could kill because we'd get so fucking annoyed with his tongue hanging out his mouth all the time. I think we could over... That's our motive. We're just like, put your tongue back in your mouth. Stab, stab, stab.
We cut the tongue out and then the Gale Weathers and the media catch wind of it and we become the Tongue Boys in the media.
Tongue Boys has to be the worst serial killer name you can ever have. So,
like, you can just see, like, the newspaper just has tongue kiss of death from the Tongue Boys.
The Tongue Boys.
Oh, man. We're no fucking good.
Okay, well, then we all just get arrested. That is how this plays out.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, well, that is all the scary talk we have for this episode. I've been Damien.
I've been Sean.
And I've been Tom.
And if you scary listeners have any comments or would like to say hi or just want to send a nice chat to the Tongue Boys, you can email us at 3scaredboys@gmail.com or you can find us on Twitter at ScaredyBoys or individually, I'm at Midday Pajamas.
I'm at Psychic of Dowie.
And I'm at Orchid Trade.
Stay scared, everyone.
You've just been tongued by the Tongue Boys.